TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Football.
Welcome into Purple Daily, powered in large part by our friends at Corona Hard Seltzer, Declan Goff.
Oh, I love my Corona Hard Seltzer. It's championship week. Now there's only four teams left, which goes perfectly with the four flavors of Corona Hard Seltzer.
If the Vikings were to ever make it back to the big game, would you pour the Corona Hard Seltzer in a champagne glass and cheers that way? Or would you just drink it out of the can?
No, I'm stone cold. I'm going to stone cold those. I'm gonna crack both of them open, get on my knees, and just be dousing myself with Corona Hard Seltzer. What? They won the Super Bowl? What? Be all in on it.
What a picture.
Wow. Yeah, it'd be great. Your Corona Hard Seltzer is the only hard seltzer made with Pier Beach vibes and those stone cold vibes with refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spiked sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer spiked sparkling water with natural flavors. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
The 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that? Yeah!
So, I heard it all week long, right? 0-9 on Monday night.
Yeah!
You like how this tastes?
Yeah, Zim.
That will never not creep me out.
No.
There will never come a day where I will hear that sound bite and be like, you know what? Now I'm used to it.
You like how that tastes?
You like
Coach,
that?
No, coach. All right. Welcome into the show.
The waiter, Mike Zimmer, asking you, you like how that tastes?
No. No, not the way that you just said it and made eye contact with me. That was uncomfortable. This is Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff producing conversations about your Minnesota Vikings. And you can find this show always in audio form on Apple, Spotify, and ScoreNorth.com. And also, we have an app. It's the ScoreNorth app. It's free. It's a central hub for everything we create here. Purple Daily, Mackey and Judd, Royce Unchained, and The Scoop with Doogie, plus all of Judd's written work and speculation as well on the app and the website. And then we appreciate it when you can click that subscribe button on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. We've also seen a lot of people jump on our new YouTube channel, Score North MN, too. So a couple of YouTube channels. And now that all of that shameless self-promotion is out of the way, usually mock drafts are reserved for Mondays on this show. We do a lot of alliteration here on the show. Yep. Mock Draft Monday. I think midweek mock drafts.
I want a mock!
Should also be in consideration because you guys asked for it on Monday, and I'm going to deliver for you a 3-round mock from our friends at DraftBlaster.com.
DraftBlaster.com?
DraftBlaster.com.
Things are about to get real.
The thinking man's guide to the draft. That's their official.
Because when I think of blasting something, I think of Harvard, Yale, Princeton thinking.
Harvard, Yale, and DraftBlaster.com. Right. All right. This is a 2021 3-round mock from our friends at DraftBlaster. We'll speed through some of these early ones. You're like Trevor Lawrence, number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not a surprise. They've got the Jets taking the offensive tackle from Oregon, Sewell. Devontae Smith going third to the Dolphins. So no other quarterbacks off the board yet until we get to the 7th pick. Justin Fields falling all the way to the Lions at 7.
Wow.
It's interesting.
That's really interesting.
Huh. Let's see here. Jalen Waddle, the other Alabama receiver, going 9 to the Panthers. Yep. Wow, where's the BYU kid?
No way.
Are you serious? Okay, so I've gotten to the 13th pick, which DraftBlaster.com has the Vikings at, with no mention of a trade. So I don't know if the Vikings have traded up, or if
how they got here,
or if DraftBlaster.com.
This isn't a thinking man's guide at all.
But however they got to the 13th pick, according to DraftBlaster.com, the Vikings are taking with Zach Wilson still on the board, apparently.
Yep.
They still can't resist. They take Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley.
Hold on a second. Okay, Draft Blasty.
And then the Patriots take Wilson with the 14th pick, even though the Vikings
have
are the 14th
swung
pick?
A trade. DraftBlasty.com. This is not the Thinking Man's Guide at all. This is completely Mackie and Judd-like reckless speculation guide to the draft.
I don't know if it is. I don't know. I trust DraftBlaster.com. The write-up says the
don't even have the pick right.
Well, maybe we have the pick wrong, and Draft Blaster has the pick right.
You think Draft Blaster knows something about the Vikings? They lost an extra game we don't know about?
The write-up says the Vikings' issues seem more on the coaching side, but as that probably won't change, they could try again to solve some issues in their secondary.
I want a mock! Mock!
Okay, before I get to the third-rounders here, because the Vikings have 2 third-round picks, and this is a 3-round mock draft.
Yeah.
If the draft plays out this way, and somehow Zach Wilson falls into the teens, which means, like, something leaked out about him, or he had small hands, or like something would have to happen for this to happen. If the Vikings were in position and stood pat and drafted a cornerback with Zach Wilson on the board,
anarchy. And there would be anarchy.
I'm rioting.
I mean, forget the reaction on Twitter. I'm talking about the actual reaction in the streets of the Twin Cities. There would be chaos. Can you imagine if they took a cornerback with a quarterback out there? And to throw in the fact that the Lions somehow got Justin Fields at 7.
That doesn't scare me as much. I don't know that like Fields is going to jump right in and like save the Lions franchise.
No, but
Campbell might.
Yeah, Danny Campbell.
Dude, they put out a weird video of him yesterday with like a goatee and just muscles bulging out of a golf shirt.
Let's get to work.
Dan Campbell was on the Lions team that went 0-16. I forgot that.
Oh, really?
Yes, I guess he was on that team.
Did he have long flowing locks, or was that with Dallas?
I'm sure he was out every night.
He is dead.
Dan Campbell out in the town in Detroit.
The Lebatard Show covered his stint in Miami, and they played some clips earlier this week on their podcast. They call him Man Campbell. And they recall at his press conferences in Miami, you know how most coaches, like Mike Zimmer, will just stand behind the podium like normal with their feet together and just like lean up against the podium.
Right.
He would stand like a step back from the podium with a wide gait and base and his hands on his hips like a superhero.
Did he really? Oh, that's great.
Dan Campbell.
I'm going to challenge my players to a fight. I'm not going to challenge them to win games. I'm going to challenge every man on this team to fight every day.
He seems like the type of coach that would do like headbutts with all of the starting offensive linemen before the game starts and have blood running down his forehead as he coaches.
He will be caught at some point in time during his time as the coach there, which, by the way, again, I will say this is a 6-year contract, which is incredible, watching cartoons when they think he's watching game film. This strikes me as a guy who would watch cartoons. He's supposed to be watching, hey, Dan Campbell, are you breaking down the Vikings? Yeah, yeah. Then why does it sound like...
I'm watching Transformers cartoons. Leave me alone.
We lost on Sunday. I'm down.
Football.
Man, Campbell. I love it.
All right, third round, according to DraftBlaster.com. A thinking man's guide to the draft. I don't know if these picks are right.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I'm just going to trust them. With the 79th overall pick, the Vikings draft offensive tackle from Michigan, Jalen Mayfield.
Okay.
The write-up says the Vikings have some good young players on defense, but they were pushed into duty all at once last year. Their offensive line needs 2 new starters at least. I think we all agree on that for sure.
Yes.
And then with their other third-round pick, the Vikings are taking another offensive lineman, a guard from Boston College named Zion Johnson. No way the Vikings get through the first 3 rounds of the draft without taking a guard.
I want a mock!
Mock! All right, so if it goes cornerback with Zach Wilson still on the board. By the way, Trey Lance was the next pick after that, so back-to-back quarterbacks after the Vikings. If they go cornerback and then 2 offensive linemen in the 3rd round, how would you grade that?
Once you take a cornerback with your first pick, I'm done. So I don't care what you do in any round. I'm just done. I'm walking away from the draft. I'm turning it off. I'm not commenting. I am done. So I would grade taking a cornerback for the second consecutive year in the first round, although they did take Jefferson as well. And that would be now because Hughes was 2019. Is that right? Or 2018?
18.
Okay. So like this would be your third first round cornerback in like a 3-year period. I'm done.
Yeah, I think so.
Just done.
Because you've drafted so many young guys, like just out of principle, if you're admitting that this pool of guys, and Cam Dantzler, by the way, is your best cornerback right now. So you got this guy that you kind of found in the middle of the rounds, and then you got a couple of first round guys. If you're admitting that I know we just devoted a crap ton of resources to this position, and we've got young guys all over the place, but we got to do it again with the 14th pick. Everyone's fired. Like,
I'm just done.
You guys are...
Later.
Yeah, you guys aren't allowed to draft a cornerback in the first round this year. I actually have a question for you guys that I've been thinking about the last couple weeks. As we look at the state of this Vikings franchise, and I'm sort of comparing it to a previous year in Vikings history, or a previous era where they were competitive on a regular basis, and they went like almost a decade of being really competitive, had a good, not great coach, and just needed either a reset altogether, or they needed like a savior in the draft.
Okay.
The 1998 Vikings looked at their roster and said, man, we've just been like 9-7, 10-6, a lot of just kind of good, not great, competing for divisions, but getting smoked by the Dallas Cowboys and 49ers. Like, we need to get on that level. And they had holes on defense. They had some holes in other areas offensively. And they didn't really even have a franchise quarterback. But they said, and they had Chris Carter and Jake Reed coming off four straight 1,000-yard seasons. And they said, the thing that's going to put us over the top is a wide receiver. And now they happen to draft maybe the greatest talented wide receiver of all time in Randy Moss, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a pick that made people kind of say, wow, I mean, yeah, like Randy Moss fell, so I guess you have to take him.
Right.
But it wasn't a need by any means going into that draft. Nobody thought going into that draft with 2,000-yard receivers and Chris Carter on a Hall of Fame trajectory that they need a wide receiver.
Yes.
How would you guys feel if this year's Vikings team with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, if one of these Alabama kids slipped, or if... the LSU kid slipped, or Rashad Bateman, like whoever you think is going to be a star.
He probably will at this point.
If the Vikings said, I know that we need a left guard, and I know that we need some interior defensive line help, but you know what? We hear everyone loud and clear on the passing game front, and we're just going to add a third ridiculously good wide receiver. Good luck stopping us.
So in the Moss year, he free fell so badly that the Vikings, I think, and I always... say this. I really think that they took Moss in large part because I believe it was the draft 2 years before that where Warren Sapp slipped down, and Warren Sapp got to them, and it had come out the day of the draft, I believe, in the New York Times that he had been busted for pot or something just really, really small.
Yeah.
But teams freaked out. And so he got to Tampa Bay, which I think was the pick after the Vikings. The Vikings took Derek Alexander, a defensive end, in the first round. And I've always theorized that the Vikings said, if this happens again, we ain't going to go with, my God, we can't take this future star player.
Yeah.
It happened exactly with Moss. Moss got down to them. And so the difference is, just from a philosophy standpoint that the Vikings took, they were run by Denny, who was an offensive coach, who knew that this was a transcendent player in Moss. And he was basically, or he was just there. They took him. So... I think the Sapp impact from a couple of years before impacted why they took Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Moss was a guy who was clearly special, and the Vikings wisely said, we know exactly what we're doing when it comes to offense. We're taking him. That being said, I don't think the Vikings would take a receiver now because they're run by a defensive guy who wants defense. I think that they would probably take a need position more. But personally, if you're asking me the question, Phil, I will tell you this. If I am not Mr. Take a receiver in the first round guy, unless you're convinced that player is special. But if you got to a standpoint where the 14th pick came up and Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith was there, I would gobble them up instantly. And you've got the wrong coach to do it with, but now you do have the potential of Thielen, Jefferson, and one of those two. Good luck.
Yeah.
Would do it personally.
And I would too.
Bateman.
I hear you on the Zimmer front, and Denny Green wasn't as just like hyper obsessed with got to play defense and run the ball.
Well, and he saw opportunity.
Yeah.
Wisely saw it.
Yep. And that's a different era of football, too, but I think the principle still applies. And I would argue that the Vikings drafting Randy Moss and turning into this offensive monster that broke the NFL, I think they broke the points record that year.
Yeah, 556. They did.
And then the greatest show on turf, Rams, bounced back and then set the new bar. But, like,
that was the first real modern offense. I know you had Dan Marino teams, and you had some. It wasn't like you didn't have high scoring teams like the Air Coryell teams from, you know, the '70s and eighties. But that was like the entry into the passing era of the NFL. And then Peyton Manning came in as a rookie, and then Tom Brady came along a few years later, and then the league was off to the races, and Brett Favre, and et cetera, et cetera. And so, yes, it's 20 years ago, but the principle, I think, still holds merit in that if Jamar Chase falls for whatever reason, again, I don't think Jamar Chase, I don't think Devontae Smith, I don't think either of those two guys is going to be available for you at 14. They're just like Jamar Chase averaged 21 yards per reception before sitting out this season in 2019. If that dude falls, yes, you need a left guard, but what puts your offense over the top and makes it maybe the best in the NFL more? You would still find someone better than Dakota Dozier either in free agency or with like a third round pick. Like literally anything, a tree stump with gloves would be better than what Dakota Dozier did last year. And so it's not that you would ignore that position, but if you could add one of those guys, if they fell, I think you have to entertain it 100%.
Nightmare. For defenses, be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think,
go ahead, Dex.
I was going to say, I think the number one way it works out, you draft a wide receiver, is if you went in free agency early and you got the guard right away. Let's just go down a hypothetical path. If they got Joe Thuney when free agency opens in March. So now you have your guard established.
Yeah, I'm here for this.
Reckless speculation.
And if one of those receivers at, let's just go with 14, is available, okay, we can entertain it. But I think it's more likely that if they see the wide receiver board falling, they trade back a few spots, get an extra conditional pick, still find their wide receiver in the first round, and then it's a win-win-win. You got your guard in free agency, got your dynamic wide receiver in the first round, and you probably also obtained another draft pick.
Wait, you're saying if like Jamar Chase falls to 14, you're saying trade back?
Trade back if you know Bateman and Chase and those guys are still going to be on the board for a run between then and pick 20, let's say.
Oh, if there's a run, yes. But I don't think there's going to be a run. I think Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith are going to be, I think Miami takes one of them.
Right, but I'm talking those two. So I'm not talking, I don't want to take one. I'm telling you if one of those two gets to me at 14, I'm taking them. So like if Bateman's there, I don't care.
I'm not taking Bateman at 14.
No. But, I'm talking about what I perceive to be a wide receiver who day one at training camp steps on the field and improves my team.
So even if Bateman was there, let's say the Vikings traded down to 25 and they took Bateman at 25.
I would not do that.
You wouldn't do it?
No. I would address a need before I took him.
And part of your, I'm assuming part of your opinion is that like there's a gap between what Bateman would be as a wide receiver and Jamar Chase.
For sure.
Correct. Jamar Chase shouldn't get to me, but if he does, my God, I can't pass him up.
Yeah. And, you know, all of this would be predicated on a come to Jesus meeting with Mike Zimmer and Clint Kubiak or whoever the offensive coordinator is.
Wouldn't involve Christian words.
but that meeting. But here's the thing, okay? I know we've been doing these Deshaun Watson episodes on Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily and sort of speculating on, all right, is there a deal to be made for a better quarterback? Or could you get a second round pick for Kirk if he traded him to the 49ers, right? And I think we should keep exploring all options at the most important position in sports. But all signs point to Kirk Cousins coming back, being the starting quarterback in 2021, trying to replicate what he did after the bye week. Like, as of right now, he is the Vikings' starting and franchise quarterback for the next year, maybe a couple years. He's under contract for two more years, and they'll figure that out. So as long as he is in that position, you should be doing everything you can to help him out, to fortify him, right? To get him better pass blocking, to get him an extra weapon. Like right now, your third wide receiver is Declan's guy, Chad Beebe, okay?
I'll start with Beebe.
So, like, yeah, you could go out and get some, you know, third-tier free agent to plug in there. But, I mean, think about if you decided,
that tells you,
all right, we're gonna evolve here.
Yeah.
We're going to, Mike Zimmer, I'm gonna take everything I've learned, and I'm gonna listen to smart people that say we need to pass the ball more on
offense. But Mike wants to run, Phil.
I'm saying he would have to have an epiphany.
I know that's the problem.
And if Tom Coughlin had some epiphanies about leadership, like, guys have epiphanies. Mike Zimmer has not had this epiphany yet, so there would be a conversation, but... Like, imagine how much better Cousins would be, even how unstoppable this offense would be if you had three of those dudes like the Vikings had in the late 1990s. So help your quarterback. If this is indeed your quarterback, help the guy out. You can't have the 27th ranked pass blocking unit and Chad Beebe as your third wide receiver. All right. That's my point.
Coaches like Coughlin have had epiphanies previously, though, I think, about how they go about their business and approach to the people that play for them. I'm trying to think of a coach who's had an epiphany about his philosophy of how the game should look, and I'm hard-pressed to think of one. I mean, Reed, in his time going from Philly to KC, has adjusted and changed things, but like he was always a really smart offensive mind. In Zimmer's case, you would almost need to give him a football lobotomy and put in a new chip that said, you know, let's pass and let's be, because look, if you had Jefferson, Thielen, and you know, Chase, you would have the potential, and Cook at that point, to make teams' lives absolute hell. But it would also involve taking chances and making big strike plays, which you should do, which I don't feel like the Vikings really embrace. Like, they'll do it. I'm not saying that they don't.
Yeah.
But they don't really embrace that. And so I don't know if Zimmer, I think that Mike could definitely morph and change how he treats people. I don't know that he can change how he treats the game. And that's the starting point. And that, again, goes to why I think offensively the Vikings are in need of a change, probably, if you ever want the offense to resemble what I think a lot of us think it should look like now.
That's probably a fair point.
I'm not calling for a change. I'm just telling you, I don't think the offense changes until the coach changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I brought up Tom Coughlin. That was more of like the way that he treated players. Yeah. It wasn't like a philosophical overhaul, right?
Right.
Yeah, Michael Strahan and some veterans went and said, hey, listen, like, you're losing the locker room if right. you keep doing this way. But, you know, is there somebody on the roster or in the front office that says, listen, we've been good, but you're going to, not only are you going to lose the roster, but like, you're going to lose your job if you don't emphasize throwing the ball more and being more aggressive. The Vikings were so hyper-obsessed this year with establishing the run. They ran the ball a higher percentage of any team in the NFL in the first quarter. And until they put up a bunch of points in the first half against the Bears and in that shootout against the Saints, they kind of padded their first half stats. They were one of the lowest scoring first half teams in the NFL until late in the season, when the season was basically over.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because they were so obsessed with ball control and establishing, make sure Dalvin gets the ball 40 times in the first half so that they know he's here. It's like, all right, well, simple math. Dalvin averages 5 yards per touch. These wide receivers in your passing game and your quarterback, by the way, who was like second in the NFL in yards per attempt.
Right.
It was like 9 yards per attempt. It's a math game. I'm not saying never run,
right?
But you got to throw the ball more. And so I would
Jamar take Chase, one of those
please
two
fall.
If they fell.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the Vikings would at this point.
Boys, real quick here. This report came out yesterday. I think it was yesterday, earlier this week, profootballtalk.com. So we've been trying to figure out, what's the salary cap going to be? We even did an episode last week, if you want to go back and find it, on how much cap room could we free up on behalf of the Vikings. And I'll just read this from Pro Football Talk. The NFL and the NFL Players Association agreed in July that the cap for this upcoming season would go no lower than $175 million. It's been closer to $200 million, but no fans in seats, financial losses, the cap's going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
So it was at $198 million. Last year. A league source with knowledge of the situation suggests that the salary cap could be in the range of $180 million.
Mm.
There was some speculation that it would be more like $195 million.
Correct.
$180 million. The Vikings, even with the current cap, are sort of pressed up against it.
Yeah.
According to overthecap.com, their total liabilities to the cap next year are right around $193 million. So they'd have to cut $13 million just to get to the cap, and then cut more to open up space to sign free agents.
Yeah.
So if the cap is $180 million instead of $195 million, how do you guys feel on behalf of the Vikings offseason blueprint?
I might go puke right now. I don't feel good about it at all. And okay, I'll start by saying this. I am instantly afraid that they're going to go back to Kirk and restructure again. And if you restructure with Kirk, that means doing what you did last March, which is, hey, we'll add a year. Come on, Kirk, come back. That concerns me. I could personally make it work, but I don't know that the Vikings and I agree on how it would work. It really concerns me as far as doing an adequate job of filling that left guard spot if this is going to take place. If we go down to 180, which is only five above what the floor is. The floor, the lowest possible that it could go down to was 175. So if we're talking about being five above that, which is not much, like forget all of the conversations about an impact guard being added in the free agent market. Forget that.
Yeah.
So I don't personally, I think the one place where the Vikings and I can agree is we both would feel very bad about your opportunities to improve your roster if that takes place. The only good thing is it's probably true for a lot of teams.
Trying to find my notes from last week, and I think this is the chicken scratch that we went off of when we got the Vikings number down to 170.
I mean, Riley Reiff's got to come way down then, and I don't know what he'll come way down, because if you turn him loose, he's coming off a good enough year. Someone's going to sign him to a decent contract. Not saying it's great, but decent. Yeah.
I think his number for next year is
way too much.
If they just leave it, it's $14 million. He'd be the fourth highest paid player on the team.
You can't do that.
But he only has like a million or two in guaranteed. So that he's going to want more guaranteed money. But what we did last week when we thought it was $195 million, we cut Rudy and saved $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
We restructured Reef and saved. We just estimated that a restructure would save $4 million to the cap next year. We cut Anthony Barr and saved $7 million. There might be some more dead money in there after the season that we have to figure out. And then we restructured Harrison Smith to save $2 million. And I think we also approached Adam Thielen about a restructure, because I think a lot of his guarantee money is gone, and we saved a couple.
Correct.
And that's how we got it down to $170 million. So that's a lot of things to get it down to $170 million. And that also includes saying goodbye to Anthony Harris, because he's $11 million.
Yep.
So if they do all of those things and get it down to 170 and the cap is 180, they only have still $10 million to sign draft picks, free agents.
Yeah.
So you remember that notion we threw out about restructuring Kirk again?
That's what I'm saying. I'm afraid that they would do.
Oh boy.
Because if you do that, he's going to want something back from you, and that's probably another year or something like that.
And Jamar Chase.
Yeah, and I just... restructuring Kirk makes sense until you tell me that I now have to give Kirk more guaranteed down. And plus, you know what? You continue... especially with Kirk, you continue to kick the can down the road. At some point in time, you've got to say we can't do it. Like at some point in time, you've got to, it's unfortunate because the cap should go up, not down, but because of the pandemic, it's going to go down. And at some point you have to say we can't continue to do this.
Yeah.
But who says that? Because your coach is going to say we got to win now.
Yeah. Kirk to the cap is $31 million in 2021 and then $45 million in 2022. And that brings you up to 20% of the team's salary cap with 52 other guys to pay. I mean, that's bonkers. So you got to figure something out.
It's fantastic.
This is also probably, and maybe we can do a full episode on this sometime later, with all the different teams that are going to be playing quarterback musical chairs, and with Kyle Shanahan, one of them, because they can get off that Jimmy Garoppolo contract. This is probably the only year where you can legitimately trade Kirk Cousins for something of value, like a decent pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because once Kyle Shanahan fills the need again, you're not going to have a guy that like has an emotional and professional connection to him.
Right.
So you kind of have to make a choice right now, and he's going to be 33 years old. Do you find the perfect trade partner now and take what you can get and just get out from underneath all this guaranteed money? Or do you ride it out? And do you smooth out that contract with another restructure of some kind?
I fear it's door two, and I fear that partially because of the fact that I think what the Vikings are going to convince themselves is that they're going to have players coming back like Pierce. In their mind, I'm sure, Hunter, right? And they're going to look at the conference, which I still contend in 2021 is not going to have a dominant team. Like, the Packers are good, but the Packers don't scare you. And so I think that they are going to privately convince themselves that they have a Super Bowl opportunity in 2021, and I think that means everything that they do is going to be geared short term. And unfortunately, that also means that we very well could be having almost these exact same conversations a year from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
There's not a lot of thought given to down the road sometimes, is there?
This discussion, by the way, that we just had about cap did not include Danielle Hunter playing hardball. And so if he says, all right, you should
factor that in.
I need to be one of the five highest paid defensive ends, and that's going to cost you at least five, probably more like $8 to $10 million more per year, or I'm going to be a problem.
Yeah.
That wipes out, even if you get it down to 170 by making some of these cuts, giving him a raise wipes some of the stuff out. Now, you could probably backload it, and Rob Brzezinski is a cap wizard, and so you probably load a lot of that money into future years.
But it still comes due at some point.
Purple Daily friends, we'll get back to the show in just a moment here. Federated Insurance has been helping business owners for over 100 years, since 1904, long before Purple Daily existed, but we appreciate their support into this 2021 year. So they're stepping up their game at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, having recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. As a business owner, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training at your fingertips? Industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. Think about the things that involve risk at your company, like do your employees use ladders? How would a fall impact that employee's livelihood? Is there a policy in place of some kind? Are there safety training and videos, risk management plans, etc. that you can lean on as a company? Well, that's where Federated and MyShield come in. Get registered today so you can jump on MyShield through federatedinsurance.com or download the app. And if you'd rather just have a conversation and dip your toes in that way, Federated Insurance marketing representatives are waiting to talk to you. Contact information at federatedinsurance.com. Remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Yeah, and Kirk on the age front. So Kirk Cousins is going to be 33 years old on August 19th. So before the season starts, he'll be a 33-year-old quarterback. When the Vikings got him, he was 30 or 31, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was he 29? He would have been 29 when they got him.
So the one thing is, if you restructure or redo Hunter's contract, his cap hit for 2021 is 17.8. I bet you could get that down for 2021. My biggest problem is Reef, because his cap is 13.95, okay? That's got to come down. But the problem is, because you screwed him so badly going into last year, I don't know how much he's going to help you. And so that's,
he might just be done.
And anyway. So right. But let's say he's done. Okay. Okay. Now I got to move Cleveland to left tackle.
He's never played there in the NFL.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Now I've got two guard spots, not one open. Right. Like I guess my question becomes, the Vikings definitely, from a pass protection standpoint, at the very least, need to improve their O-line. But if I have to let Reef go, how am I doing that exactly? Especially if the cap comes down to what you said, which is 180 in 2021.
Yeah, and that's
how am I doing
And that's the other thing with some of these other guys, like with Reef, you can say goodbye to Reef. Now you need a left tackle.
Yeah.
You can say goodbye to Anthony Barr. Eric Wilson's a free agent, but now you need another linebacker. And saying goodbye to Rudy is pretty easy because you already have two.
And
tight
Harris,
ends.
I think, is pretty simple too.
Yeah, you got one really good elite safety. Yeah. You can figure out the other one, but. That is the thing about, you clear out this room and you save cap space, but you also open up a bunch of positions that you have to find either through the draft or internal options or inexpensive.
And can draft pick step right in?
Yeah. I don't know. So this is going to be a really interesting, fun puzzle to figure out here over the next month and a half until the league year starts.
Unless you think a little bit longer term down the road and start to make moves based on that and don't fixate as much on the coming season.
Reckless speculation.
We should do that. Maybe we do that next Tuesday for how to fix the Vikings.
I like it.
We did the five moves to fix them in this upcoming year. But the five moves to fix them for like 3 years down the road. If you just want to take a running start at winning a Super Bowl in 2023 or something. Think about that.
The post-Zim years, we could call them.
So before we wrap, and speaking of Dan Campbell, he is literally speaking right now for his introductory press conference. Oh,
is he shirtless?
No, he's got a suit and tie on.
Is it sleeveless?
I have a clip to show. And I had to cut out the
beautiful
first 15 seconds because he dropped an F-bomb
the
15 seconds. And I cut that out. But I'm not even going to say anymore. I'm going to play this clip.
All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. What? And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right? That's going to be the mentality.
We're going to bite off your kneecaps.
Football.
Football!
Football, yeah!
We're going to bite off your kneecap. You're going to try to knock us down. We're going to get back up. We're going to take out your other kneecap.
And then we're going to take out a bazooka.
Yeah.
And we're going to blow your head off. And then we're going to crawl through the mud and the dirt, blast, and shoot you again.
Highly recommend finding the full video where he does drop the F-bomb seconds before that.
Oh, my God.
He apologized.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Oh.
Dan Campbell, man.
Football!
Football, yeah!
That was a man who just devoured 14 eggs and a whole ham by himself for breakfast, too.
And sprinkled broken glass all over.
Without any milk.
Oh, my God. That, I mean.
Can we actually play that one more time?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right, it's found a way to overcome adversity. All right, and so this team's going to be built on. We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right? That's going to be the mentality.
Football!
Football, yeah! Yeah!
Football!
Football!
Get some! Gotta eat!
How is he not in wrestling?
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
He's cutting promos at the podium.
Yeah.
How does this end?
Badly.
How does this end?
With his hands around a reporter, I don't know who yet, that covers the Lions. That's how this ends.
If they thought dealing with Matt Patricia was hard, this dude's going to murder somebody. Can you imagine questioning that guy's strategy in a post-game press conference?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He looks like McGuire from the summer of 98.
He does.
Yeah, that's an epic goatee he's rocking.
That is an
epic goatee.
That is a jacked man. Oh, this is going to end just, it's going
to
be glorious.
Also, good luck to whoever the Lions team concussion doctor is. That guy probably won't need to be employed next year because Dan Campbell, I'm guessing, doesn't believe in concussions.
Dan, Matthew Stafford's knocked out cold. I don't care.
He's cut.
Mrs. Stafford's going to love him.
Get his ass.
Oh, yeah, Kelly Stafford's not going to handle this well. Oh. My guess is Dan does not believe in family. We're all sleeping in the locker room all season.
God.
Oh, Declan, that's a great find. That is hilarious.
Alrighty, that's a wrap on this
Come
episode
on, Phil.
Of Purple Daily.
Aren't you jacked?
I'm terrified.
We're gonna go.
I'm terrified.
We're going to kill the Vikings. We're going to. I have a particular set of skills.
I'm actually kind of surprised that he didn't just have like the bloody stump head of like a deer, holding it up. Like that guy for sure. Like when that guy goes hunting, and I guarantee that guy goes hunting three times a day
for humans,
and probably kills animals with his bare hands. I don't think he cooks the meat. I think he just eats the meat right out of the dead carcass.
Oh yeah.
And then I want you to not only tackle Dalvin Cook, I want you to kill him. What coach? Yeah, that's right. You
bite
heard me.
Bite into his throat. Twist.
We're gonna crawl through the studio. Gonna cut off your microphone. Get back up. Grab another Corona Hard Seltzer.
Go get some some green tea. Keep the vocal cords feeling pretty good.
I don't think
sleep on a.
I don't think Dan Campbell fits into the new culture of understanding humanity. I don't think he fits into that one.
Great, love it. All right, that's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. We'll see you guys for Four Question Friday tomorrow.
Dan Football.